One of the things I want to talk about is that, you can read that, is actions have an impact. And Jack talked about commitment. I mean, and so one of the things that we talk about, our actions, you know, do have an impact. And you look at it, especially in this day and time, all the news that's going around, the things that are happening between countries and the back and forth, you know, the things that one country does with another or against another will have an impact on that. Many of us work for companies, and sometimes decisions that companies make have a direct influence on us, how we live, or even if we're going to have a job tomorrow. And so that takes care of that. Families have an impact on each other. The things that go on within a family, you know, can have a direct impact on what happens to that family. And so we need to think about that. And most importantly, when it starts coming down to it, is the impact of our actions have on the church. And so the things that members here do to one another or don't do to one another will have a direct impact on the congregation here. But so when you think about the things that have had impacts on your life, and especially your eternal life, I want you to think about God's actions impacted our eternal life. Because had he not done the things which he did for us, we wouldn't be here this evening. And so when you think about God's word in John 3:16, and this scripture has a lot of power to it if you actually read it and think about what it's saying, is that God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whoever believes in him shall not perish, but have everlasting life. And so when you think about this, one of the things that was probably tough when Jesus walked this earth was that they really didn't get what he was saying. He said that God so loved the world. He didn't say that he just loved the Jewish people. He said God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son. And then there's a great thing about God's gift to us is that if we believe in the things that he says, we'll not perish, but we'll have eternal life. And so God had one part in the matter, but Jesus' actions also impacted our eternal destiny. And so when you think about it, without Jesus, there would be no eternal life. When you go back and you look at the very beginning when man sinned, there was nothing to take away the sin from man. So God, over the course of time, you know, had his chosen people, and he gave him the Ten Commandments and the laws and the statutes and the regulations that went along that, but they couldn't keep it. So no matter what they did, there was no way that they're going to be able to save themselves. And so Jesus said in John 15, the 13th chapter, he says, greater love has no one than this, that one lays down his life for his friends. And so Jesus had a great impact on our eternal life, okay, because he gave himself, he laid down his life for us. And then when you look at what God says, it says, God demonstrated his own love towards us in that while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. And that underlined part when towards the end when it says sinners, while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. We talked about this in the young adults class this morning about love, about God's love. And God loved us when we were unlovable. And this kind of goes to this whole thing is that Christ came and he died for us while we were still sinners. There was nothing that we could do. We didn't deserve it. We talked about grace being unmerited favor. There's nothing that we could do to deserve God's favor, but he gave Jesus to us. And so when you think about that, it kind of goes back to the one thing is that when you think about salvation, there is salvation in no other name. And so that my blood can't wash away your sins. It can't cover your sins. Nor can your blood cover the sins of mine. And I apologize. I turned it on to... I'm not used to having this extra microphone up here for Bernie, but your blood can't cover my sins either. Jesus' blood was the only one that could do that, could cleanse us, could cover our sins by being obedient to him. So there's one fact that stands, is that our actions impact our eternal destiny. Things that you can do for me may, but when it comes down to it in the end, our actions are going to impact our eternal destiny. And the biggest thing, when you look at what God did, when we look at those scriptures that were read before, it all boils down to love. Love is the key to obedience to God's word. Because we cannot be obedient to God unless we love Him and unless we love one another. And so love, no matter what you do, whatever you want to say, love is the key. And we'll get to some verses that talk about that. And when you think about, we talk about 1 Corinthians, it's the 13th chapter. Sarah's not here because she's not feeling well. Jessica's not here because she doesn't live here. But Maria will know what I'm going to say is that when they were little, every time they'd start getting in a fight with each other, I'd say, okay, come here, sit down. Read 1 Corinthians 13. And they'd have to read it, both of them. And so it made an impact for them, and they'll tell you to this day. I mean, it's still, when Sarah got married, she wanted me to read 1 Corinthians, the 13th chapter. And so that's what I did. I get emotional when I start talking about it because it takes back. But when you think about it, love, the chapter of love, it tells you everything that we do, it depends on love. You look at the first three verses of that book, of that chapter. It says, though I speak with the tongues of men and of angels, but have not love, I become sounding brass or a clanging cymbal. Is love important? He says it. Whatever I do, if it's not love, it doesn't mean anything. Although I speak with the gift of prophecy and understand all mysteries and all knowledge, and though I have all faith so that I could remove mountains, but have not love, I'm nothing. And then this one kind of fits into us too. Is when you say, as though I bestow all, Paul saying, as though I bestow all my goods to feed the poor, and though I give my body to be burned, but have not love, it profits me nothing. So no matter what you and I do, no matter how much good we do to somebody else, if we don't have love, and love's not the motivating factor behind that, it does us nothing. It profits us nothing. Could you imagine on the day of judgment going to the bar and standing there at judgment? And start making excuses. Well, but you did it all, Rob, without love. Love wasn't a motivating factor. You did it so other people could see, oh, here, Rob did all these good things. But love is a motivating factor behind all of these things. And if you want to think about it, Jack, talking about commitment, I'm going to use Jack's word commitment, okay? Take the 1 Corinthians 13 love test, okay? Both of us, all of us look at it. You look at beginning in verse 4. Love suffers long and is kind. Yes or no? Do I do that? Love does not envy. Love does not parade itself. Is not puffed up. Does not behave rudely. Does not seek its own. Is not provoked. Thinks no evil, does not rejoice in iniquity, but rejoices in truth. Love bears all things, hopes all things, endures all things. Without love, we are nothing. So when you look at that, talk about and just think about what 1 Corinthians 13 says. Am I committed to God's word? Okay. There's a song that a lot of people, I don't know where the age cutoff is on this, but I'd ask you to raise your hand. Some people, I'll just think they'll smile, but Petula Clark. Does anybody know who Petula Clark is? She sang a song one time. It was really interesting because it means something today. But the beginning of that song goes, what the world needs now is love, sweet love. It's the only thing that there's just too little of. And whether somebody believes in Christ or believes in God, they will tell you that. Love motivates the world. And sometimes we'll look at the things that are going on TV, and there's just too much hate in the world. Even back when Petula Clark sang this song, it was still one of these things that just had a resonating sound within when you heard it. Is that there's just too little of it. And so the love in the church, there can be too little of that as well. And when you look at what this message says, it says, for this is the message that you heard, John speaking to the brethren, he says in 1 John 3:11, he says, for this is the message you heard from the beginning, that we should love one another. We already learned from 1 Corinthians, if you don't have love, it means nothing. But John is telling us, look, we need to love one another. That's the message you heard from the very beginning. And then he goes on in verse 23 of the same chapter. He says, this is the commandment that we should believe on the name of the Son, of His Son, Jesus Christ, and love one another. So you've got to believe in His Son and His name. But he says that you've got to love one another. And he gave us, as he gave us this commandment. If we don't love each other, okay, we will bite and devour one another. We'll destroy each other. And then 1 John, later in his letter, he says, but if God so loved us, we also ought to love one another. And think about it, he says, somebody says, I love my brother. Well, I love God, but I don't love my brother. He says, how can you love God who you've not seen and love your brother whom you have seen? So it is critical for us. And let me tell you, it for me sometimes, you know, it's we know what to do. And it's one of these things that's kind of, you say, it's not hard to do, but it is hard to do. If you have somebody mistreat you, could you imagine being the apostles and the disciples during the first century? The things that they overwent, and then he's saying, look, you got to love your neighbors yourself. Kind of a difficult thing to do. And I'll go through this one example that most of us all know is that, and this will be the only example I'm going to use because it kind of drives home the point, is that you look at Cain and Abel. Whose sacrifice was pleasing to God? Cain or Abel? It was Abel, right? So what Cain offered a sacrifice from the fruit of the ground, and it wasn't pleasing to God. But we're going to find out, you learn a little bit more about when you look at Cain and Abel, you learn a lot about Cain. Is that when the Lord came to him, he says, the Lord said to Cain, he says, why are you angry? Remember, God says, not acceptable. He says, why are you angry, and why has your countenance fallen? And then he makes this statement, which is good for all of us to stand and look at. He says, if you do well, will you not be accepted? And if you do not do well, sin lies at the door. Now, this example always is pretty interesting because you think sometimes a door open, door, and it says sin lies at the door. But here's another one. If somebody, I can't do it, I can't do it. But yet God told Cain, he says, and its desires for you, but you should rule over it. We can rule over sin when it faces us. We just have to look for the way of escape. But he says, it lies at the door, sin lies at the door, and it's a desire for you, but you should rule over it. But he didn't do that. And when you look at, does Cain have love? Cain didn't love God. He didn't love his brother. And his brothers suffered the consequences of Cain's hate. And so when you look at it, we need to think about these things. Remember when you walk out, next time you see a closed door or a door in your house or when you leave this place, remember this scripture. Sin lies at the door. It's a physical thing that we can see, and we should be able to remember those things. And this is where I was going back to talk about respect regarding the law. In Galatians, Paul writing to Galatians 4, verses 14 and 15, he says in chapter 5, he says, for all the law is fulfilled in one word. One word. Even this, you shall love your neighbor as yourself. Love your neighbor as yourself. It's hard to do. Especially when you're mistreated or they don't like you or they call you names or they do things to you. But he says, but if you bite and devour one another, beware lest you are consumed by one another. Hate does a lot of damage. You cannot do good when you hate someone else. Romans the 13th chapter and verse 8, he says, owe no man anything except to love one another. For he who loves another has fulfilled the law. What did he say? For the law is fulfilled in this one word. Romans, Paul writing to the Romans says, owe no man anything. He says, love one another. For he who loves another has fulfilled the law. That's what God wants us to do. He did that for us. He gave his only begotten son. Remember when we talked about that? So we need to think about these things. Is that our choices Our choices will determine our eternal destiny. And we need to remember those things, that we do have a choice in the matter. And so we need to remember that, is that therefore, it's not a matter of chance. It's a matter of choice. And many of you who know me, and I've used this saying before, is that you can plug any word that you want in there. I just happen to do it because the lesson is our eternal destiny is not, It's not a matter of chance, but it's a matter of choice, okay? You could put anything in there, okay? Giving. It's not a matter of chance, it's a matter of choice, okay? Salvation, it's not a matter of chance, it's a matter of choice, okay? Love is not a matter of chance, it's a matter of choice. Praying is not a matter of chance, it's a matter of choice. Put any scriptural word that you want in that phrase where eternal destiny is, and it's a matter of choice, it's not a matter of chance. It's not something that we do, like rolling the dice. Are we going to get into heaven? Man, I just hope, That's not, we're not going to get there. By making it, it's just chance. Maybe I'll do everything just right when God takes me home or takes me to judgment. And so when you look at it, there's a saying that used to go around, and you'll hear it from time to time. We'll say, heaven is a place for, a prepared place for what? A prepared people. And so it's a choice. We have to make a choice in how we're going to live and what we're going to do. And so when it starts coming down to impacting us, now we've got to look at one another. We talked about the decisions that people make. And they have an impact. We talked about countries making a decision and the impact they could have on other people, by their own citizens in other countries. Talk about companies, talk about families, we talk about the church. And he's going to hit us on this one in Romans, Paul writing to the Romans. In our chapter 12, verse 16, he says, be of the same mind one toward another. If I want you to love me, guess what I'm going to have to do? I'm going to have to love you. He says, do not set your mind on high things, but associate with the humble things. And do not be wise in your own opinion. And that's what we all have. We all have an opinion. Okay? The problem is that sometimes our opinions can get us in trouble because we may think that our way is the only way. But we're not giving the people, it says, be of the same mind one toward another. We have to be of that same mind because we're the body of Christ. And when you look at the 1 Corinthians, Paul writing to the Corinthians, he says, but God composed the body, having given greater honor to that part which lacks it, that which there should be no schism in the body, but that the members should have the same care one for another. Now, Jack hit this morning, and I told you I was going to mention it, but his lesson was a good lesson if you were here this morning on commitment, okay? And he made a statement, first of all, he says, if he didn't feel loved in his congregation and it didn't stand for the truth, he wouldn't be here. And we all need to feel like that. But we need to make sure that we are standing for the truth and that we love one another. And I think that's the thing that sometimes there's some people in this congregation that put me to shame in the things that they do for others. They don't go blowing their horn. Nobody really knows what's happening about it unless somebody else tells you that happens to find out about it. But there is ways that people show love to one another. And some people are very blessed by being the beneficiary of that. He also goes on in Romans when he's talking to the Romans and he writes this letter. He says, be kindly affectionate to one another with brotherly love. In honor, giving preference to one another. Remember the scripture, esteem others better than self? And so the church needs to be that. He doesn't say affectionate, but he says kindly affectionate. Think about that word, that phrase. Be kindly affectionate to one another. But he didn't stop there. He says with brotherly love. And then honor, giving preference to one another. That's what the body is supposed to do, is to feel the care and concern that they need to for each other. And so he says, be kindly to one another with brotherly love and honor-giving preference. That means I need to prefer you over me. And we don't always do that. This one is a good one, right? Be hospitable to one another without grumbling. Now, some people are real good at showing hospitality. But what happens the next day? Have you ever heard somebody says, "Oh, man, you know, I don't appreciate anything I do." And you start just grumbling. Yeah, we see this, and if you've ever worked in a place, you'll hear people doing the same thing, grumbling, okay? All that does, what does grumbling do to a body, to the church, to the family? It's going to tear it down, right? It gives you a lot of insight into the person, who they are, and what drives them. I'm hospitable. Wish I didn't have to do it. Look what I did for them. Look what I did for him. Look what I did for her. And they complain about it. God's word says, be hospitable to one another without grumbling. That's when you start to prefer somebody over yourself. It's when you do things for others and you don't expect anything in return. Then James, writing, he says, do not grumble against one another, lest you be condemned. Behold, the judge is standing at the door. Do not grumble against one another. And sometimes it's sad to say, but you'll hear members of the church that are doing that. But the problem is, if we do that, we need to make sure we look at that last sentence in that verse. The judge is standing at the door. Remember what we said? It profits me nothing. If I do all these things, if I show hospitality, and then I sit there and grumble, behold, the judge stands at the door. Ephesians, the fourth chapter. Paul writing to the letters of the Ephesians. He says, be kind to one another, tenderhearted, forgiving one another, even as God in Christ forgave you. We've got to forgive one another. What does it say that God gave his only begotten Son? Because he loved us, right? And then Christ died for us even while we were still sinners. And so when you look at the same thing, as he says, look, be kind to one another. If you look at this theme, we need to be a kind people. We need to be a loving people. We need to be a forgiving people. We need to be a giving people. We need to do the things which God, because if we're not committed, as Jack mentioned this morning in his lesson, we're not getting anywhere, okay? So be kind to one another and do it in a tenderhearted way. Colossians, a letter from Paul to the Colossians. He says, and this one is bearing with one another, forgiving one another. And he says, if anyone has a complaint against another, even as Christ forgave you, so you must also do. So we need to think about those things, okay? Is that somebody says, oh, I'll forget, I can forget, but I can't forgive him. Okay? Or, I'll forgive, but I can't forget. Has it really forgiven somebody? I can forgive him, but I won't forget. And so he says, if anyone has a complaint against another, even as Christ forgave you, so you also must do. Let me ask you a question. How would you feel if Christ, when all of a sudden you go and it's judgment day, and he says, I know I forgave you, but I couldn't forget. Is that what we expect from God? God didn't tell us that, right? God told us he forgave us. Christ said, forgive them, Father, for they know not what they do on judgment day. I remember you. I know you asked me for forgiveness. You obeyed the gospel. You're baptized in Christ, but I remember you. Remember you at the foot of the cross. So just as Christ forgave us, so we also must do the same. Peter joined in. Now we're going to jump from Paul to Peter. But Peter says, and above all things, have fervent love for one another. Have fervent love for one another. It's not, he just doesn't say, have love for one another. Have fervent love for one another. And why? For love will cover a multitude of sins. Love will cover a multitude of sins. And so when you think about that, let me ask you a question. How many of your sins did God forgive and cover with the giving of his son? How many sins did Jesus forgive and cover as a result of his death on the cross and the shedding of his blood? It makes a lot more sense when he says that, because he says, for love will cover a multitude of sins. If I love you like I need to, and when you do something wrong to me, or I do something wrong for you, and you ask me for forgiveness, or vice versa, and I forgive you, let me tell you, love will cover a multitude of sins. But I don't love you, and I don't forgive you, standing at the judge will be at the door, right? And so, love will do a lot of things for us, but it says right here that love will cover a multitude of sins, and we need to think about those things. Our sins have been covered because Christ loved us while we were still sinners. He died for us. And then finally, and the lesson will be yours, and it starts out finally, right? Peter, right, he says, finally, all of you be of one mind, having compassion for one another. Love as brothers. Be tenderhearted. Be courteous. Not returning evil for evil or reviling for reviling, but on the contrary, blessing, knowing that you were called to this, that you may receive a blessing. All of you be of one mind. And that's kind of difficult to do sometimes. Remember, we all have opinions. But when it comes to spiritual matters, we need to be of the same mind. We need to be going to the same place. You know, our hearts need to be focused on eternal life. And when he ends this thing, think about it. Be tenderhearted. We're not always tenderhearted. Maybe some of you are, maybe you do a much better job. But we need to be tenderhearted, he said. Be courteous, not returning evil for evil or reviling for reviling. Always makes me think about it when he says, look, vengeance is mine, I will repay, says the Lord. What is he telling us in that? Get that stuff away from you, I'll handle it. You start dwelling on it, you start trying to handle it in yourself, you're going to get yourself in a big time problem, and guess what? The judge is standing at the door. Vengeance is mine, says the Lord, I will repay. And so we need to push that stuff away and keep on going. But the last part of that is that saying, knowing that you were called to this, that you may inherit a blessing. We're not able to do these things. What is the blessing he's talking about? You inherit a blessing. What's the blessing? Eternal life, right? So we need to be of the same mind. We need to be compassionate, show compassion to one another. We need to love as brothers, that we may inherit that blessing after this life is over. And so we need to do one thing. We need to remember what this lesson is all about. Is that our eternal destiny, yours and mine, is not a matter of chance. It's a matter of choice. And sometimes we live our life thinking that, man, just I hope that God comes when he comes, and Jesus comes back, or when I'm taken, that I'm living my life right. Like rolling the dice. So think about these things. You and I have a choice in how we live our lives every day. Jack mentioned it in the sermon this morning. We have a choice on whether we're here or whether we're not. What is there in this world that's more important than being with God's people and having an opportunity to inherit a blessing of eternal life? There is nothing. So when we leave this evening, I hope that we all think about it. Every time we start to do something tonight, tomorrow, on into this week, whatever it is, we're going to pay for our choices if they're wrong. And so there may be those here this evening that have never obeyed the gospel of Christ. If you know what God's word says, and if you look at it, if you need it for anybody to study with you, and you've never obeyed the gospel of Christ, you know what your eternal destiny is. and you have an opportunity to obey the gospel, you have a choice in the matter. God's not making you. I'm not making you. No one else is making you. And I think that's one of the great things, is that God knows who loves him by the decisions and the choices that they make. We're not robots. We don't all do the same thing. We don't think the same thing. But he's given us a choice. But the other side of the coin is that you may have made a decision to leave and go back into the world. You know what your eternal destiny is going to be if you don't correct your life. But God has given you an opportunity now and tonight is that you can make that decision to correct it, that you may inherit that eternal blessing that he's stored up for us in heaven. So if you go ahead and turn to number 284, number 284 will be the invitation song. And going along with this lesson tonight, I ask Eugene if he'd go ahead and lead this, is because what would your answer be? Sorry, God, I made the wrong choice. Accident. Okay, what do they call it? A boat? What is it they use in golf? I want a do-over. Tell me, Brian. A mulligan. I want a mulligan, God. Sorry, no mulligans today. Okay. So what will your answer be? We'll go and please stand as we sing this song.